Let's get around and shake someone's hand this morning.
Good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. In Psalm 27, verse 5, we read, "He will hide me and set me high upon a rock." Let's join in singing 496, "He hideth my soul," the first, second, and last verse.
Wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Star be sky, face
face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory I shall see him by and by. Amen. You may be seated.
All right, good morning and welcome to Assurance Baptist Church. We're so glad you're here to worship with us this morning. We want to take this time and welcome any first-time friends or guests we have with us today. So if it's your first time at Assurance Baptist Church, if you would raise your hand, our guys in the back have a gift for you. So if it's your first time, we have a few on this side, gentlemen. So if you just keep your hand up until they get to you, they got a gift for you. And then there's a visitor card on the bottom. If you wouldn't mind filling out the bottom part for us and just turn that in either to myself or in the offering at the end so that we can record your visit. We're so glad you are here with us today. We have a couple special guests that I wanted to announce to you guys this morning. So as you know, when election season comes, we send out letters to all of the candidates in any areas that our church family live in, and we have a couple with us this morning. So first we have Miss Denise Moore is with us. She's running for city council in Trotwood, Ohio, so she's here this morning. Thank you so much for coming this morning. And then we have Brother Norman Scarce. Norman Scarce, he's also running for city council in Trotwood. He came out to see us this morning. And so after the service, they'll be out in the lobby. And so be sure to greet them, thank them for coming, and get around and talk to them. We appreciate you guys coming to see us this morning and to worship with us. So we're going to get started with a word of prayer this morning. Then we'll have our special, and then I'll introduce our guest speaker for you this morning. But let's get started with a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the time of worship we've already had in your house today. Lord, as we prepare, Lord, for the preaching hour, we pray that you'd use this special song, Lord, to prepare our hearts. Lord, be with our speaker this morning, fill him with your spirit, your power, convict us by your word. God, we pray if there's someone here today that isn't saved, that today they would come to trust you as their Savior. Lord, we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Sea would call out through the rain. because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still
Sister Sierra for that great special. So this morning, if you haven't noticed yet, you'll see preacher is not here with us today. So he is preaching away, and we have a guest preacher with us, a dear friend of ABC that you guys haven't got to meet yet, but he's been a blessing to our church, a dear friend of our pastors, an influence on me, Brother Brandon, your teenagers, for his role that he plays at the church camp. So he's not a stranger to us, even though he is to you. But we're excited to have Brother Kevin Bell with us this morning. So he's the pastor of Faithway Baptist Church down in Maysville, Kentucky, a church planner too, so he's a kindred spirit to our preacher. So they swapped places this morning, so you guys get to hear Brother Kevin. So give him one of our warm ABC welcomes and come ahead.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Man, I'm glad to be here. I love it here. I love y'all. You guys are nice as can be. I feel at home. I feel like I'm in Kentucky. And so thank you. No, thank you. Seriously. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that. I love your preacher. I love him dearly. He is awesome. And if y'all visiting today, I'm not the preacher here. You come back next week and you get to hear the guy who can actually stand behind this full-size man stand right here. Because it's just a little too tall for me. So, no, seriously, I love your preacher. And like I was saying earlier this morning, I just trying to think of like one out of many reasons why I love him. And I just trying to think of one word. He's just real. He's just, you know, and you got one here. And so I thank you so much for letting me be here today. And Pastor Bryson is preaching at my church right now. And so let's just pray again. And then I got the Spirit stirring on me about something. I'm going to just go off track. I like to derail every now and then. I'm going to derail for about 5 minutes, and then I'm going to preach my sermon if the Lord allows, all right? And it came from that song. I just feel like somebody needs something that God put in my heart today. God, I just love you so much. Thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ. You're everything that we need. And here we are, gathered together in your name, growing together so we can go together, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would work in our hearts. I pray that every single person here can be edified, encouraged, sharpened before we go out of here, Lord. And I pray that when we go out of here, oh God, that the feet of these people coming out of this building, Lord, be just the intro song to a beautiful song of the gospel that's going to be played this week as they go out and share the gospel. And Lord, we just give you this service. We give you today. And I ask a special blessing on my church back home. I know Pastor Bryson, he's probably preaching right this very moment. And so fill him with your spirit, God, and give him power and authority and urgency to preach to my people. And God, I know we're all your people. And so we love you and we thank you and we ask all these things in your holy name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have you go to 1 Corinthians. That's where my intention is to go. But I'm going to go ahead and ask you to go just a few chapters past it. So 1 Corinthians 15, I didn't say it, 1 Corinthians 15. And then just go on a few pages to the right. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. She was singing that song. I love that song, don't you? She was singing that song. I like to write stuff in my hand. In my church, well, when we have visitors come in, you tell me your name. You walk by me, I write your name on my hand. And then on the way out, I'm like, okay. Call you by name on the way out. And they think I got this some kind of like steel memory. And it is not that way. I cheat. And I don't mind telling people that every now and then. I'm like, look, your name made my hand, you know. And so, praise God. And so I wrote down a lyric to a song that she sang, you catch me when I'm falling. And I've God just gave me just something just while I was just sitting there. Maybe even if one person needs this today, this is for you, okay? And I know this is of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Man, life's tough, ain't it? And we go through a lot of stuff. And as Christians, man, it's not always just like, oh, great days. Every day is a great day. You know, it's not how it is it? Man, we get hit all the things, you know what I mean? And then life's tough and people are mean and bad, right? And here we are and we're living for Jesus now. All right? And there's a scripture that helps me. I asked somebody, I was at the hospital the other day, and I was talking to the elderly ladies that sat they volunteer at the front desk to help people know what rooms to go in. I've never met him before. I just said, hey, I said, question for you. I said, if you could have any book of the Bible it's the only book of the Bible you could have the rest of your life, what book of the Bible would you take? That's just how I introed the conversation. And they're just like, they're both Christian ladies, and so like one's like Revelation, the other one's like Esther and whatever. And I'm like, I'm going with 2 Corinthians. And read that this week, man. I'm just telling you, 2 Corinthians. It just so much from heaven to earth on how to get through hard things, get through hard times. And I always tell people, you know, we all say we'd die for Jesus, right? But not many people live for him, through the thick stuff, you know? And so would you live for him? And by living for him, that means you're going to have to go through some stuff. And man, this ain't the message, but I'm just going to get it for a second, okay? I tell myself and I pray, I genuinely pray this, God, if you want me to be a martyr, I'll be a martyr. If for some reason you think it's going to bring you glory, more glory than my life can bring, I'll die. I'll die for you. And I would. But I also pray, but God, if there's anything that I can do and stay alive that's going to bring you more glory than being a martyr, help me know what those things are so I can keep on bringing you glory and more and more and more and more and more. You with me? And so then God reminds me of this passage of Scripture. It helps me through difficult times when we go through hard stuff. And it's in second. You just got to read the whole chapter. This ain't the message, but just look at verse 11. For we, that's us. For we which live. Y'all alive today? Last I checked. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now one more verse. So then death worketh in us, but life in... You see that? Death works in us, but life in other people. How does death work in us and life in other people? We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Man, when we're going through this life as Christians, we go through some tough stuff, and it just can about put us in the grave. But like the song says, get up out of the grave. Get out of the grave, all right? And if you think about it this way, by Jesus allowing us to go down into those pits and valleys of life and then come up out of them, what does the world see? The world sees a resurrection over and over and over again. So don't get out of whack when you think, oh my God, just doesn't love me. No, he's going to show the world his power by bringing you up out of that. That coming up out of that grave and the light shining. And people will be like, how did you get through that? Be like, Jesus Christ, man. Death works in us, but life works in other people that see us. All right. I don't know if somebody need that today. That's for you. Now you go back to 1 Corinthians. I get a little extra time in this message time out here. I want to talk about the gospel. Now, this is a gospel church. Amen? I can already tell. I love it. And so all I'm doing this morning is fanning your flames in the gospel. All right? Hopefully that's all that I can do is fan the flames. And if you're here for the first time maybe, or you've been here and you've been hanging on, you don't want to be saved, I'm telling you, today needs to be the day you get right with God. I don't care who you are. You need to be saved. You're here for a reason. There's nobody here that's here just by happenstance. No, you're here for a reason. This is the only time this exact group of people are going to be in this room at once, probably forever. And when two or more gather together in his name, he's in the midst. And guess what? I'm number one. Anybody can be a number two? All right, me and you, brother. Me and you are gathered in his name. Guess what? It's between the two of us. Christ. Amen? The gospel. What in the world's a gospel? Now, I like to make things simple. Let's just keep it simple. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Hey, let's stand. He's standing. Let's go. I'm about it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? The gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have what? Received, and wherein we stand. All right. How many stand in the gospel this morning? I stand on it. The faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. It's substance. It's what we stand on. Substance. Faith. And we're all standing on our faith this morning. Amen. And here you have this gospel that was preached, that you received wherein you stand, which also you're what? Saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Hopefully nobody here has ever believed in vain. Now, if you've believed in vain and you're not a believer, today's the day you put your faith in Christ. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. Yeah! The third day, according to Scriptures. Let me pray once more. God, bless the service. Bless the word. Bless us as we hear and just sit at your feet, Lord. We ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. The gospel. It comes out in Sunday school. It comes out in the early service. It comes out through the week. It comes out in all the classrooms. It comes out in the nursery. It comes out from here. Why does it keep coming out like that? Because the gospel is an announcement. It's an event that happened. I mean, we announce it. We announce all kinds of stuff. You guys have all kinds of stuff in your bulletin. The preachers just get the privilege of announcing something else that's already happened. Jesus came. Jesus died. And Jesus was buried and he rose again. Hey, and then we also get that onto the end and he's coming back. You ready? That's the gospel. It's the good news. It's the gospel. You know, everybody here, literally every single person here, I can say this with certainty, everybody here right now is here because Jesus rose from the dead. Don't matter why you're here. The reason you're here, even if you don't know, is because Jesus rose from the dead. There wouldn't be any happenings going on right here if Jesus wouldn't have rose from the dead. We'd all be dead in our sins and we'd be doing whatever. Who knows what right now? But Jesus rose from the dead and we're all here because of that gospel. Man, I could have came and preached all kinds of other stuff. My heart is I want the gospel to go to more people. And so if the gospel needs to go to more people, and it does, amen, then you need somebody, and you've got preachers, and you got assistant pastors, you got all these people, but sometimes it's nice to have somebody else come in and be like, hey, these guys are right, man, when they're saying, go take the gospel. That's what we're about. That's what we should be living for. It was years and years ago. It's probably about 14 years ago. No, 15 years ago. I was a 22-year-old man, and I was just learning how to share the gospel. I didn't know. I mean, I'd been saved for a while, but I'd never, like, actually witnessed to people before. And when I say witness to people, and again, I break things down real simple with some of my life. When I say witness to people, I mean you had just have a conversation with somebody about what Jesus did on the cross for them and how he died and he was buried and he rose again from the dead. We witness to people, right? And so it's late. I'd been witnessing all evening. And I was with another guy, and I just said, man, let's go to one more house. Let's go to one more. He said, all right. We are both tired. We're ready to get home to our families. All right. I was a newlywed, just got married. I'm like, I got a wife at home. I want to go see my wife. And I'm like, let's go to one more house. It's dark and dreary out. And I thought, I want to go to a place nobody would want to go. Like, if we're going to go one more, let's just end well. You know, like, leave it all in the field kind of thing. Let's go to a place nobody would want to go, fleshly speaking. And so this place came in my mind. I drove there. Get to this house and walk up on the porch. I don't even know. It's like almost 9 o'clock at night. I knock on the door. I just hear, come in. Yeah, I'm telling you, young guys, don't just come in when people say come in. I've learned the hard way. You don't even know who's at the door. I'm not even going to ask how many of y'all would just say that. All right. So, at the door, come in. I walk in. And it was a scene, I don't know, it was really, really bizarre, just the scene that I walked into. I walk in. Guy walks in with me, and there's a lady, an elderly lady, sitting in the middle of the living room. You just walk right into the living room. She's sitting in the living room on a like a love seat, and there's four people standing around her. And I had to get over that. It was just odd. They're all looking at me. It's like, it was weird. I just got over that real quick, and I'm just like, hey, my name's Kevin, you know, blah, blah, just inviting people to church, because that's like the easy way to get into the gospel conversation. And so, and the look on their face, their whole demeanor just changed. I could tell something crazy had just happened that I didn't even fully understand yet. And so, come to find out, the old lady that was in the chair, she had had health issues. She had been fighting insurance every day, just trying to get her health stuff taken care of. And it was just like a losing battle in her mind. So she had decided to commit suicide. And the whole family was there to say their goodbyes because they all had subscribed to that idea. And they had just prayed within 30 seconds, they tell me, God, if you don't want her to kill herself tonight, send somebody to our house. And I knock on the door. Man, I'm telling you, brother, the whole family got saved. They're sitting in church the next Sunday. No, I'm telling you, it was God. Yes. But it was God taking the gospel, which is just the simple message of the death, burial, and resurrection, through a nobody, who I'll add, who Jesus has made a somebody in him. Amen. Same with all of you all. We're just a bunch of nobodies who Jesus has made a somebody. Amen. In Christ. a nobody who would come and just say, I'll give my time and I will take the gospel because I don't know all about the Bible, but I do know the gospel. And I'm going to take that wherever I go. And God showed up. And as I talk about the gospel, and every time I think about the gospel and wanting to encourage people to go share the gospel and be a witness, there's a few memories that always come to my mind. That's obviously one. I'm telling you, it's like they saw a ghost or something that moment. It was the Holy Ghost they saw. You know? I want to give you a few things as I go through that's going to make you a powerful witness, all right? Let me just go ahead and give you the three, and I'm just going to have fun preaching, and we'll just see what I'll kind of jump in and out of each one. Now, the first thing is love. To be a powerful witness, you have to have love. I'm going to talk about that in a second. You have to have urgency, and you have to have boldness. Love, urgency, and boldness. I wish I could say every time I met with somebody, it ended up like that. Sometimes we're not as urgent as we need to be. You know, I had another guy. Start with a good story. Let's go to another one. This one's not so good. And somebody had said something to me, Pastor, well, I wasn't a pastor at that time. Hey, can you go see so-and-so? They're not doing well, and they're not saved. And I'm like, I could probably get there like in 5 days. I could have went that day. You know, I just wasn't as motivated, let's just say, for whatever reason. Had all these other things I had to do in my mind. I'm like, I'll get there in a few days. And by the time I got there, he had already passed away. Dead in his sin, not dead to sin, and he was lost. And, you know, you have those moments too. That's another moment that kind of comes back in my mind. There is a person that said when it comes to, like, being a witness, and when you think of, like, love in your witness, they said you don't need to pray for less fear, just pray for more love. Don't pray for less fear, pray for more love. And because fear debilitates us, don't it? You know, in any area of life, you know, you're trying to do something and then the lies of fear, I call them wicked whispers is what I call them. You know, the lies come in your ears and then you can be so gung-ho like in the car or whatever and then the whispers come and then all of a sudden you're debilitated and you can't even do that next thing or say that next phrase or go say hi to that next person. You're just completely done. And you know, and you guys know just as well as I do, Satan tried to keep Christ off the cross, but he couldn't. And so now he just tries to mute the messengers. And unfortunately, he does such a good job at muting his messengers, the Lord's messengers. And we've gotten too quiet. We've gotten silent when it comes to the gospel. When it comes to taking the word of God to the lost world. Somebody said, a million years from now, the only thing that's going to matter is who's in heaven and who's in hell. Let me say that again. A million years from now, the only thing that's going to matter is who's in heaven and who's in hell. It's not going to matter what job you landed, what house you got, what car you're driving. None of that stuff's going to matter. Who's in heaven, who's in hell? That should do something to us internally. That should, like, speak to us in some powerful way that, goodness gracious, I can't just be about my own business. I got to be about my Father's business here. This person said, pray for more love, not just less fear. And we can all love each other more, don't you? I think every one of us can love everybody more. What I've learned in my life is the only way that I can love you more is if I love God more. Because God is love. I did a wedding yesterday. And as I'm praying, God, you are love. And thank you for showing us what love is so that we even know how to share it with one another. You only can give out what you've received. If he's love and he's pouring his love into you, you can pour that into as many people as you want. Love grows by sharing it. You don't want more love in your life? You got to start sharing it. You're like, man, I'm hearing this preach, but I just am kind of a stingy person. All right, if you got one of them in here, let me help you with it. You're like, here's how you get over that. Take all the love that you have, which might be this much, and give it all away. Just give it all away. God will replenish it, and he'll give you a little bit more. And then you take all that, and then give it all away again. And he'll give you back. He'll give it back with more. And you keep doing that. You with me? We've got to love people, but we only love people through God and knowing him. Look at, let's go to, we didn't do this earlier. Let's do this. Let's go to Romans. You guys get extra. Romans 1, look at this. Oh, a couple verses. Let's just look at this. This is good stuff. Romans 1, 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Look at what it says. Separated unto the what? He said, I'm separated unto the gospel. You know, some people know what they're saved from, but they don't know what they're saved for. You know, he knew that he was separated from some other stuff, but he also knew he was separated to the gospel. You know, a lot of times, especially if you grew up in church like me, you're like, okay, you're separated from that. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. And it says blah, 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 right? And we need to abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't get me wrong. But all I'm saying is, if we're not careful, we don't know the other side of it. We're not just saved from that stuff. We're saved unto this other stuff. We're saved and we're separated to the gospel. And so now that we're separated to the gospel, we don't have to be in this category that some people have said, you're a saved soul, but you have a lost life. You're saved, but you don't know what you're supposed to be about in your life. You need to know what you're about. Be about the gospel. If you're going to be about anything, if God's number one priority, if all that matters 1,000 years from now is who's in heaven, who's in hell, the gospel should be our number one priority right now. He goes on and he says, look in verse, let's skip just a minute. Look at verse 14. Paul says, I am a debtor. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Jew first, Greek, Greek, barbarian. It don't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. And I like how the Bible uses these different extremes. It doesn't matter where you're from. You matter to God. He called himself a debtor. Xavier, let me use you for something. I walked up to how old are you anyways? 17. I walked up to a couple 17-year-olds in my church the other day. And they were getting in the car after church. Like, preach, we're going to McDonald's. You want to go to McDonald's with us? I'm like, I can't tonight. But I pulled out my wallet. I said, listen, fellas. Preach, we're going to take real good care of you tonight. You going to McDonald's? And the passenger seat is a boy named Mikayon. Mikayon. He's like, hey, buddy. I was saying, get dinner for all you guys. And I gave him $1. And there was 3 17-year-old-ish guys in the car. And he just looked at me, and it was just like, you got to be grateful because your preacher just gave you some money, but you can't, like, dude, this ain't going to get us anything. Like, three guys in a small fry, you know, that's not going to work. And so I had to laugh. It reminded me of that. But I gave you $1. Now listen, I'm going to show you something with Bible's teaching. See how in verse 14 it says, I am a what? I'm a debtor. All right, now, a couple ways to be a debtor. Some of y'all are like, I know one of the ways. Yeah. I write those checks. I got that bill paid, right? We know what that side of being a debtor is, all right? Here's another side of being a debtor. If I said, Xavier, give I'm going to give you a dollar, but I need you to give that to Brody. All right? Now watch. Don't give it to him yet. Don't give it to him yet now. You're a good man, so you're trying to do it. But until he gives that dollar to him, he's a debtor. If something's given to you in order to give to somebody else, you become a debtor to that next person. With me? The gospel came to you because it's on its way to somebody else too. And so we're debtors. So to not forward what you've been given that's not just supposed to end at you, that's a crime. That's a sin. And that's why Adrian Rod, got to be careful with that. You keep that dog. Get something real nice at McDonald's today, okay? No longer in debt to Brody anymore, all right? Every Christian this side of heaven owes the gospel to every lost person this side of hell. Go to 1 Thessalonians real quick. Go to your right. 1 Thessalonians. We may end here. We'll see. Don't forget, Mark 16 says that we're supposed to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? Remember, the scripture says, I'll make you fishers of men. We're supposed to go, and he says, I'll make you be able to do it. I don't know about you, but last time I checked, I just really feel like God is a God who can make something out of nothing. You read that same book I read? I mean, if you got Genesis 1:1 down, you're good with all the rest, right? And if he says, I'll make you a fisherman, a fisher of men, and you're over here like, there's no way. I've never done it. I can't. I don't have the skills. I don't have the blah, blah, blah. And God's like, I can do it. I'll make you be able to do it. The Bible says, preach to every creature. Start with your dog. You know what I mean? I've preached to my dogs before. Some of y'all got cats. They need it even worse than the dogs. I'm telling you. God loves you guys, cat people. He does. Practice in the car. I'm just real practical. Can I get real practical? Just practice. Just practice out loud. I was walking around the neighborhood with my daughter, and I gave her a tract. She was 5 years old at the time. She's 11 now, and I'm just going around door to door. I gave her this little tract, and she was knocking on every door in the community. It was awesome, and I just got to sit back and watch. And so knocking this lady's door, a sweet old lady opened the door, and my sweet little girl was right here. And, you know, and this is like, man, this is going to be a beautiful moment. This is what dreams are made of right here. You know, she's going to go in the house. She's going to get a couple cookies, one for her, one for me. And she's probably going to, like, give my daughter a hug and encourage her in her sharing her faith. And, like, blah, blah, blah. Peyton's like, hi, my name's Peyton, and I'd just like to invite you to our church. Ding. It's like that. Slam the door. I don't need your church. It was intense 3 seconds there, just for a second. You know, just for 3 seconds. Then I got my phone out, and I just recorded. I wish I had a cue to play it for you. I just wanted to see how my daughter would respond to rejection like that. Rejection, help me to not forget this, Lord. She's like, turn around. She's like, well, she didn't want to come. I'll invite somebody else. Like, yeah, let's go. Let's go. Let's talk about rejection just 1 second. Because if you're urgent, right? Urgent, love. Well, let's just slide this in with boldness, too. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Oh, that's gold right there. The righteous are as bold as a lion. When it comes to being bold, you can't worry about rejection. I'm not swinging now. I'm helping you. Our pride says, I can't take rejection. Our pride says, I can't allow somebody to talk to me that way. Our pride says, they'll call you names and that's not going to be okay. Our pride says, they'll make fun of me. Whatever it is, guys, we've got to get past our own self. We've got to get past our own pride. And we have to be willing to start a conversation with somebody about Jesus. Getting outside of your comfort zone is just getting past yourself when it comes to the gospel. And so we say, I'm going to do that, and we go do that, and we start being bold, and God's like, I'll make you fishers of men. And we're like, yeah, here we go. God makes stuff out of nothing. Here's another thought, too, when it comes to sharing the gospel. I love this illustration. There's so many. I've got them. Let me use the pocket one. I almost said I got some. I got all kinds in my pockets. Let me use this one. Let's say, what's your name, brother?
Alex.
Alex. Let's say Alex. We need to pray for Alex because he Dan was sitting right behind you earlier, and we had a lot. We needed to pray for him a lot. So. And so I love that guy. Alex, he's my buddy too now. All right, Alex. Let's say somebody came to you, Alex, and said, listen, somebody with deep pockets now. And they're like, I'm gonna give you 100 tickets. Your birthday's coming up. It's your birthday. I'm going to give you 100 tickets. I'm going to throw you a birthday party. And you're going to give 100 tickets away to the people to come to your birthday party. And everybody who comes to your birthday party, I'm going to give them $100,000. How much you want to bet he's going to hand out every ticket? He's going to give out every ticket that he has. And even if he's on the way to the birthday party and he got in them jeans that he thought he washed but hadn't washed yet and he had one more ticket left in him, you know what I'm talking about? He's going to stop on the way to the party and be like, hey, what's your name? Come here. You need to come to my party. Everybody's coming is getting $100,000. You give them all away. Here we have the message of eternal life in Jesus Christ, and it's a shame. We're going to be full of having pockets full of tickets when we get to heaven. You know what I mean? Man, I don't want to have pockets full of tickets. I don't want to have all these invitations in my pocket that I could have given to people. We know how they can spend forever eternity with Jesus. I've even stopped saying, do you know for sure if you're going to be in heaven forever? I just talk about Jesus. Do you know for sure if you're going to be forever with Jesus when you die? Jesus. Friends don't let friends go to hell now. 87%. 87% of people say that they were introduced to the gospel by a friend. 87% of people that got saved say they were introduced to the gospel by a friend. And so what that means is we need to be in the business of making lost friends. If 87% of them get saved because of a friend, how many lost friends do you have? Sometimes we can isolate ourselves from people who need us the most. How many lost friends do you have? Let's read this passage and I'm going to be done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I can't skip over this because this was something that so was impressed on my heart when I was trying to learn how to witness to people and not be scared and all that. This verse just really hit me. Where am I here? Here we go. Look at verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the what? The gospel of God with much contention. It doesn't matter who's coming at you with what, who disagrees with you, who's calling you this and that. You preach the gospel. We were entrusted with the gospel. We present the gospel. God's going to try our hearts. And we know that if we're bold in our God and not in ourself, we'll be all right. I'm just telling you that. You be bold in God. You don't have to be bold in yourself. When you're bold in yourself, your witness is going to pop. When you're bold in God, your witness, I'm telling you, when I go and witness in the power of the Holy Spirit and I share the gospel, you can't fail. You can't fail. Because you're trusting God to do everything. And all you're doing is just being a witness and you're just moving your mouth. You know, sharing the gospel means we've got to move our mouth now. You with me? Close with this thought. Ooh, should I close with this other thought? Here I am, regular old preacher, right? Does your preacher do this sometimes? He just says he's going to end and he doesn't for a minute. I'm sure he doesn't. Let's go here. A lot of stuff going on in Israel right now, right? Y'all been paying attention. A lot of stuff going on here. But a lot of stuff's going on over there. It reminds me of a story back in World War II. There was a church in Germany, and it was near railroad tracks. And early on, their church had people going to their executions on them. They started singing a little bit louder. And then as the train got near to the church, they would sing a little bit louder. And as the train was as close to their church as they could, they were singing as loud as they could. The reason why they were singing, though, wasn't to encourage them. It was so they couldn't hear their screams. And my fear is that Christians, people are screaming all around us, headed to hell, and we're just singing as loud as we can, so we just can't hear it. I'm just getting through my life. You get through yours. You know what I'm saying? That is not how we should be living our life, Christian. Let's be sensitive to the screams. Let's go to the people that are hurting and that are heading to hell, and let's take the gospel to them. Amen? Let's pray. Maybe God's working on your heart. Maybe you'd pray for one person that God would put on your heart before you even leave here today. And I'm telling you, God will give you somebody. God will put somebody on your mind and your heart that doesn't know Christ. And that needs to be the person that you focus on this week, maybe. Put a rock in somebody's boot this week. Just get them thinking about it. I'm going to ask you a question I ask every time I preach, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you don't know that if you died today that you'd go to heaven, but you sure would like to know, will you just look at me until I see you? Just look at me. Say, I don't know if I'm saved, but I sure would like to be saved today. Anybody like that? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you now. Just be real. Say, I don't know if I'm saved, but I need to be saved. Will you just look at me? We're going to take a moment. Pastors are going to close as they will. I just encourage you to bow before the Lord right now and ask Him to help you in your witness this week. God bless y'all.
All right. As we get into this time of invitation, the music's going to begin to play. Brother Chuck will come and sing. If the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, I'd encourage you to come to the altar and pray. Ask for a burden for souls. Pray for that person that's in your life that needs to be saved, for that boldness to share the gospel. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we would love to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure today you can be saved. Brother Kevin, Brandon, myself, we would love to share as He's dealing with you.
Please stand and join in singing. Jesus is calling.
Jesus is calling the weary.
Blessed by Pastor Kevin this morning. All right, we're going to take this visitors that are running for office. If you'll go out to the lobby with Brother Brandon, that way people can greet you on the way out. If you're visiting us with this morning, our offering is for our members and regular attenders, but if you'll drop that visitor card in there so we can track your visit, we would really appreciate it. But we're going to pray, and then after the offering, I've got a few announcements for you, all right? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for using Brother Kevin, Lord, to speak to our hearts this morning. We pray that we would be emboldened to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. Lord, as we collect our offering this morning, Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We pray that you would bless both the gift and the giver, and that we could use it for the furthering of your kingdom. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you didn't get a bulletin on your way in this morning, you'll want to be sure to get one. We have a lot of stuff going on even this week here at ABC, so you don't want to miss out on that. Starting off November 4th at 9 a.m. this Saturday, we have men's prayer breakfast. So for all the men 5th grade and up, please come join us for devotion and food and a time of prayer and fellowship together. Then following that, there will be a deacon and trustee meeting at 10 a.m. For all of those families. Then we have a ladies' fellowship. You guys have two different announcements under the same header. But Thursday, November 2nd at 6:30 for ladies' youth and up, there's a fellowship. If you'll please bring a snack to share. Sister Bev Stearns is going to be doing the devotion at that, so you want to be there for that. Then December 1st at 6:30